Dear brothers and sisters, faithful saints gathered
here at Zion, this morning we will be meditating on our epistle text. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. This text is as relevant today as it was for its original audience. And perhaps we could even say that it is more specifically relevant to us than it was for our parents' or grandparents' generation. Not, of course, that this magisterial teaching on faith was ever irrelevant for any generation, but the context of the congregation of the Hebrews is very similar to our own. It appears that the book of Hebrews was not originally an epistle, but rather a sermon preached to a congregation that was undergoing persecution that had not yet led to the point of martyrdom. It was persecution nonetheless. Christians were being economically disadvantaged, socially ostracized, mocked, rejected by family and friends, and perhaps even physically abused. Our Lord Jesus warns that there will be those who, when they hear the word of the gospel, they will receive it with joy, but they believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. Some of those early believers in the Hebrew congregation had heard the gospel and been enlightened, had tasted the heavenly gift, and had shared in the Holy Spirit, and had tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. But under the pressure of persecution, they fell away. Some openly, publicly denied Christ, and some others simply, quietly stopped attending church. Brothers and sisters, this environment of social pressure and persecution is not that hard for us to imagine, even here in rural Ohio. The feeling of being mocked or ostracized for faithfully holding to what the Word of God teaches is something I'm sure that many of us have experienced, at least to one degree or another. And with large corporations embracing more and more the redefinition of sexuality and gender and those sorts of things, I'm sure many of us have some reason to be concerned for our job, whether it be in regards to preferred pronouns or some gay pride event at work. As Christians, we do love and care deeply for those who struggle with same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. Yet we also cannot speak a lie, for we do not live by lies, but every word from the mouth of God. And the word of God is truth. In such a situation, social ostracization might very well be the least of our worries. Will you be fired and lose your income? Perhaps. Dear brothers and sisters, in this time of persecution, the preacher to the Hebrews holds up to our eyes the great cloud of witnesses, those saints who have gone back to the beginning of time. They are those who testify to the same faith that you hold. Though they died, they still speak. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, all the prophets, all the apostles, the martyrs, the church fathers, the reformers, John George Schoen, Phyllis Dietrich, and Edward McCullough. These are the saints that have gone before us. And just like all the saints that have come before us, we live by faith. In the name of Jesus, the object, the founder, and the perfecter of our faith, amen. What is this faith? The preacher to the Hebrews tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This faith is sight, and it is understanding. By faith, we know who God is, and we know who we are. By faith, we know that the universe, our world, and our lives are not mere cosmic accidents. The Apostle Paul rightly says what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. Creation proclaims the Creator, and yet so many in sin and rebellion suppress this truth, that which is plainly true before our eyes. Yet by faith we understand that God, out of love, freely created the universe, and that he is the giver of every good gift. The rain, the sun, the soybean, the corn in our fields, our life and family are all gifts of God. We understand that God is good and righteous and holy, and that he created the world to be good, and he created man to be in loving relationship with himself and with one another. He created us so that he could bestow all these good gifts upon us. Abel offered his first fruits to God because by faith he knew that they were not his own, but gifts given to him by his almighty Creator. Noah, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household because by faith he knew that the God who spoke the seas into existence could bring about the flood that he warned about. Sarah believed the promise of God that she would bear a child, although she was barren and old, because by faith she knew that the Lord of life could bring a child even out of a barren womb. In our understanding of God, we live by faith like the saints. By faith, we also perceive who we are, the beloved creation of God, who have fallen away from him on account of sin. We know that God created us so that we could receive his blessings and live with him. Yet formally, at one time, we believed the lie of the serpent, the devil, that God had kept something good from us. Desiring to be like God ourselves, we raised the standard of rebellion and we brought death into this world. This rebellion continues today. In every sinful action or thought, we fire another salvo at the God who created us and is our sovereign. This rebellion is why the church today is persecuted. The world and its ruler, the devil, rage against those who belong to God. But of course, we are not innocents in this war. We are not innocents in this rebellion. Our own hearts are co-belligerents with the world that wages war against our sovereign Lord. How often, husbands, are we frustrated with our wives' needs, not giving ourselves to her like Christ gave himself for the church? The corruption of our sinful nature affects even our most intimate relationships and affects and corrupts even the deepest parts of us and even mars our good deeds before a holy God. By faith, we know that we cannot earn our salvation before God because we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. And thus it is, in our understanding of ourselves, we live by faith. And most importantly, by faith, we see Jesus, who is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death. God had every right to destroy us for our rebellion, but instead our loving Creator sent his only begotten Son to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to become man. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law, fulfilling that law. Our Lord Jesus Christ came for one purpose, to obey that law and to die. The holy, righteous Son of God was crucified on the cross to take upon himself the penalty for our sins. His blood was shed to pay our debts. And not only did he die for your sins, but he also gives you his righteousness so that we may become heirs of the righteousness that comes by faith. Our sins are laid upon him and his holy life is laid upon us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. By it we receive commendation. The things hoped for, the ultimate object of faith that all the saints look to, is Jesus, who is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. The commendation of God is not given to us for our works, but on account of Christ. By faith, we who deserved nothing but death now live. In the waters of holy baptism, we are clothed with Christ's righteousness, so that when God looks upon us, he sees nothing but Christ. We who were rebellious sinners are made beloved children of God. God is no longer just our loving Creator, but he is now our dear Father also. Through his word preached, Jesus calls us to believe in himself who has died for the forgiveness of all our sins. And in the Lord's Supper, he regularly nourishes us in our faith by giving us his body and blood, that promise and that physical, tangible sign that we can trust and cling to. Beloved children of God, you live by faith in Christ, who is our righteousness and our life. And beloved, you are blessed. All the Old Testament saints died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having greeted them from afar. But you have seen Jesus. You have received the things promised. You have been given forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, Abel, Noah, and Abraham, and so will you, will all be raised from the dead to live with God and receive all his blessings. Beloved, God's graciousness does not end there. Your lives are now lives lived now in faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place not knowing where he was going, because he trusted in the promise of God. By faith, you are given confidence in God's promise, given you in Jesus Christ, so that you might obey his call to love your neighbor and stand against the persecution that comes your way. Just like it is impossible to do any truly good work apart from Christ, it is impossible for a Christian's work to be anything but good, because in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You are righteous on account of Christ's work. You are clothed in Christ, and any work you do is a work done by a child of God. So it is acceptable to the Father. Right, when your child presents you with a picture, what do? You delight in it and you hang it up on the fridge. Not because it is a perfect example, a perfect artistic specimen, like Michelangelo's Pietà, but you delight in it because you delight in your child. And so it is with our Heavenly Father, that when we present our works to him, he delights in them because he delights in us for Christ's sake. Just as Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God, and he was commended as righteous, all your sacrifices and all your good works, although imperfect, are accepted by God and he commends you as righteous for Christ's sake. Beloved, hold fast to the faith, because by faith in Jesus Christ, you live as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Please rise for the offertory.